Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man, that's the sound of pitchers and catchers reporting today as Michael Kelly and I chat with Bernie Miklas. And this Bernie Miklas report is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. And Bernie, good to talk to you today. This is our first time talking to you post-Super Bowl.
Yeah, there you go. That was a kind of a dud. I just was hoping for a good game. It was pretty boring.
It was.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Good to be with you guys.
Good to be with you. It was boring. When did you know that the game was over with? Like, I felt like when we went to halftime that, okay, this is either going to be the greatest Super Bowl ever or it's going to be the most boring. And that team came out and looked just as flat as it did in the first half.
Yeah, I thought it was over by halftime simply because the Chiefs had no answer for what the Philadelphia defense was doing. And it was a great game plan by their defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. I won't get into the weeds with that, but it was basically the perfect plan. And they couldn't block Philadelphia's pass rushers because the Chiefs had an iffy, shaky offensive line all year, but they couldn't get away with it this time. So they hit Mahomes a lot of times. I mean, a lot of times. Had him on the run. He was confused by what he saw downfield because they were disguising some of their zone coverages. And it's one of the craziest stats I've ever seen for a team as great as the Chiefs have been. At halftime, they had only 23 offensive yards on 20 plays. And I haven't seen that kind of level of dominance in a Super Bowl since – you remember the 1985 Bears with that great Buddy Ryan defense,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they just like destroyed New England. But even then, they gave up some points to New England, and the Chiefs didn't get on the board until it was 34 seconds left in the third quarter. I mean, it was just a total annihilation.
Was Patrick Mahomes just out of his element? It felt like to me, Bernie, as the casual observer, that he was almost running into the rushes at the end there, like stepping into them.
No, he was. They had him completely frazzled, and they had him very unsure of what move to make, to get out of the pocket, escape to the left, escape to the right, try to beat something in the middle. He was very indecisive, and he was also indecisive in terms of, you know, releasing a throw. The thing of it is, we have seen this before. I mean, but Patrick Mahomes is a great, great quarterback. But when they lost to the Tampa Bay Bucks in the 2020 season Super Bowl, they lost 31-9, and the Tampa Bay Bucks just did the same thing to Mahomes. They hit him, sacked him, roughed him up, confused him, and the pressure was so relentless that it just took him out of his comfort zone. He was nowhere near it. So, you know what the takeaway is for me? The Chiefs got to spend some money on an offensive line. They have to protect him better because they've been putting offensive lines together as great as their record has been. They've been putting their offensive lines together with a lot of scotch tape and baling wire and cheap solutions. And I think they're taking him for granted. I think the guy needs to have a solid offensive line. They got to get away from this mentality of like, well, our offensive line's kind of mediocre, but that's all right. Patrick will figure something out. Well, you saw the consequences on days where he can't figure something out because he didn't have much of a chance to figure anything out because he was just expecting to get banged around like every single time.
Bernie, do you follow Andrew Brandt at all? he is.
I do.
Like with Villanova, and I know he appears regularly on ESPN as a business and legal analyst. His prediction, and this truly was before the Super Bowl, which is insane. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it's been kind of going viral since then. Here's what he said. If it is a not too long of a paragraph, but I'll read it. And this is Andrew Brandt. I know the Eagles can look almost disinterested at times, but in the end, talent rules. They are the most talented team in the league, and I'm not sure it's close. That talent advantage, especially with offensive and defensive lines, will prove out in the Super Bowl. And yes, I don't think the game will be close. The Chiefs are the better story if they win, but they are not the best team in this game. Bold prediction, I predict Mahomes will have one of the worst games of his career. It won't just be a subpar game, it will be a downright poor game. I'm not sure he's seen a defensive line like this one the Eagles have, and they will wreak havoc on the Chiefs' line.
Well, he did see a defensive line like that with Tampa Bay, because they did the same thing, you know, in his only other Super Bowl loss. But I give Andrew Brandt a lot of credit, because he followed the courage of his convictions, to use that cliche. I did not. I spent a couple weeks before, you know, in the run-up to the game, saying there's no question that Philadelphia is the better team. There's no question this is the best team he's faced in a long time. They have no real weaknesses. On and on and on about how many terrific, all the terrific ways that the Philadelphia Eagles were an outstanding team. But yet, I couldn't shake this thing of like, well, this will find a way to win. Like, in other words, the pragmatic part of my brain knew that, okay, clearly the Chiefs are not as good across the board as the Eagles. My pragmatism gave way to just the narrative and just the belief in a team that has won so much. You just expect them to find a way to do it again.
Yeah, I got used to relying on Chiefs magic, whatever that means. But, okay, Patrick Mahomes, not yet 30. Do you think the Chiefs will win another Super Bowl in the next 3 years?
Oh, I think they have an excellent chance. I think the AFC is getting tougher. I think there's going to be more challenges. I think the division is getting tougher, because Sean Payton has shown he's bringing Denver up real fast. And they made the playoffs, and they have a good young quarterback. Harbaugh with the Chargers, really good coach. They have a really good quarterback in Justin Herbert. You know, and then you look around. I don't know what to make of the Raiders. They're not a factor right now, but they could be if they hire the right people. So I think it's going to be tough in his own division. And, you know, it's not like the Ravens and the Bills the Bengals are going anywhere. There's some other teams, like Houston's going to get better and better. I just think it's going to be tougher and tougher and tougher, and I think they have to transition. They've got to fix the offensive line, and they also have to establish a downfield passing attack. Patrick Mahomes this year, short pass after short pass after short pass after short pass. It made the other team it made it easy to defend him. They didn't have to worry about getting beat downfield. They need to establish a deep passing threat, because that'll get some of the wolves off of Patrick Mahomes' neck. Just when they realize, well, wait a minute, you know, if he just gets a couple of seconds, he can hit a big play. Right now, we don't care, because he's only going to throw a short pass underneath the coverage. That's the best that they can do.
Hard to believe. It's the end of the football season, and until next year, and now we move on to the boys of summer. And Bernie, I'm excited about this Cardinal team, not because I think it's going to be, you know, a team that wins 100 games, but it's this hard reset that we're doing. It's an expectation that we're starting over and we're going to build from the ground. Does that narrative get a little muddy and maybe even problematic if Nolan Arenado is a part of this club?
Yeah, it does, from the standpoint that, and let me look up something that I was making some notes to myself, so I'll share this. You know, if Arenado is back, I mean, the bottom line is this. This is when you're talking about building your roster with what you have. I don't see how you can put together a lineup that has Arenado, Burleson, Donovan, Gorman, and Walker. Like, in other words, where they're all be playing all the time. There's no way to squeeze all of them in, and I think Burleson would be the guy that would probably be penalized by that. And also, if Arenado's still with the team, Thomas Sagesi, there's really not a meaningful role for him in the ball club. If Arenado's not on the team, well, the congestion eases. Sagesi can play, and he'll have a bench role, and he'll contribute a lot. Burleson will get plenty of run at first base, maybe in left field a little bit, the designated hitter. But with Arenado, the things that they really want to do, it'll be very limited. They won't be able to go all in with what they're calling a reset.
This has got to be weird. I mean, here you have a world-class player in Nolan Arenado who may be showing up to Jupiter for spring training, clearly may want to go somewhere else. The team wants him to go somewhere. It's just going to be weird, isn't it?
It's been weird the whole offseason. I think John Mozeliak was given a reason to believe that Arenado would have accepted a trade to Houston. And I think I have no idea what happened. I don't know if it was a communications snafu. I have no idea what. Mo would not have been as confident about being able to make a trade to send him somewhere unless he thought, well, he'll go to Houston. So I don't know what went wrong there, because we know he didn't go to Houston. So now they have to wait for Alex Bregman to make a decision, because it's the domino effect. As soon as Alex Bregman decides where to go, hey, the Red Sox may or may not be a likely destination. And there's some reports about the Dodgers kicking the tires and the Yankees. I don't know. I mean, there's been seven million rumors. I tend to try to filter through them. I think Boston, if they don't get Bregman, still would be the most likely destination.
Yeah, that was going to be my question next, Bernie. How is it a guarantee that when Bregman signs, you know Arenado can move? Or do you think there's a good chance that even after Bregman signs somewhere, Arenado is still a Cardinal?
I think if he signs in Boston, you know, I think Arenado most definitely would be a Cardinal. I don't know. I mean, I can't say that 100% all year, because they could always maybe at the trade deadline see if there's a market for him and what he would like to do. The irony of this is like I don't think they've gone far enough with this reset. They talk about runway, and runway implies, you know, the Jets are cleared for takeoff, all these young players. And the runway's pretty crowded, and they still have like a lot of players back from who were part of their team last season, and I think they're also, the Cardinals are caught in between. You know, they tried to billboard this reset thing, and yet then there's contradictory messages about, oh well, we think we can be better than people expect. We think we're going to be really good. We're going to, you know, and that's okay. Optimism is part of the spring. But my point is, if you really want to get down to it, if they really believe they have a chance to win and be a surprise team, they're a better team with Nolan Arenado at third base. They really are, because he's still a terrific defender. His offense is still slightly above league average. So, you know, it's not as if he's a liability. His salaries are a concern. But if they really want to win, and they're sort of hinting that, like, well, we really do want to win. You know, they're keeping all the same pitchers and everything else. Well, Arenado, you got a better chance with him still here. So I don't know. There's even a related thing, and I'm sorry I'm stumbling around a little bit. If Arenado's your third baseman, Lars Nootbaar is probably going to be your center fielder. And the thing about that is, to me, is good, because the Cardinals' outfield offense last year was horrendous. And Nootbaar, you sacrifice a little bit defensively, but he gives you a much healthier offense as you look at the outfield as a whole.